team, you can turn down the house mains. That'll help the ringing. And not all the way, but a little bit. And, you know, it's a funny day and age that we live where church is now virtual, in a sense. It is virtual. And I've been teased since we started the visible church, because some people who have never heard the name the visible church, they think I say invisible. And right now, the church is not here at this building, because the church is never this building, as we all know. We're the church that houses the Holy Spirit, and that does not diminish in one little iota the seriousness that I give to gathering. Because that's a command of Scripture. So today, we're 10 and no more, and we're gathered, and we're socially distanced at the proper 6-foot minimum. You know, I smell, so there's about 12 feet between me and the next person. So, you know, it's like, you know, social distancing is definitely in effect. But I am glad to be in the house of God. Amen. On the front of this building, there is still the logo that says the visible church. And the Bible really is straightforward. He loves to have places where His name is put, where His people, who are the church, gather in His name. So this is not a time for us to say, look at me, we're the church, we're all by ourselves in our house. No, that is not the greatest. That is a necessary evil. After this time, we will gather and we'll be like the psalmist who says, I am glad when they said, it is time to leave my house and go to church. And hug some necks and fulfill Scripture. It says, greet out every brother with a holy kiss. Prepare yourself, Jeff Pagel. You're going to get kissed by Carlos. No, Jesus does. So it's like, I just can't wait. I can't wait for the gathering together of saints. And you know, it's almost a prophetic nod to that great banquet in heaven that we're all looking forward to. Today, there is a message. I'm in the last part of the Lift series, Palm Sunday. We're talking about lifting up Jesus, and we have gone through some great points. But today is one day where I think I'm just overwhelmed by what it is that I believe God wants to do. As we get started, I want to read a couple scriptures before we go anywhere else. And if you turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 6. It says, for God who said, light shall shine out of darkness, in verse 6 of chapter 4, is the one who is shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. He's the one who has shown the light in our hearts. And that light is the knowledge of Jesus Christ, the very face of God. Other scripture says that Jesus was the fullness of the Godhead in bodily form, full of grace and truth and all of that. In Philippians 2:15, it also references lights shining against a dark backdrop. In Matthew chapter 5, verses 14 through 16, I'll read that. Verse 14 of chapter 5 in Matthew says this, you are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. And in the same way, let your light shine before men, so that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father who is in heaven. And one more scripture. John chapter 1, and I'm going to stay in the book of John's gospel for a little bit today. But in John chapter 1, verses 6, 7, 8, and 9. John 1, 6, 7, 8, and 9. There came a man. There came a man who was sent from God. Now I want you to pause for a second and put your name in there. Go ahead and say it out loud. It's like a kid's show on TV or something. It's like, there came a man whose name was, what's your name? Or a woman, what's your name? Carrie said, Carrie, you're a girl. And so there came a woman named Carrie. There came a man named Steve. who was sent from God. This man's name was John. Verse 7, he came as a witness to testify concerning that light. The light. The light, the knowledge of Jesus Christ as God. He testified concerning the light, so that through him, through John the Baptist, but also through you, put your hand right on your heart and say, through me. God has sent John the Baptist, but he's sending me, so that through me, all men might believe. Verse 8 says, John was not the light. Now, I'm not contradicting Matthew, saying it's just the different applications of that metaphor are still applicable. He wasn't the source of the light. He's not the light. He's just a reflection of it. It says in verse 8, he was not the light himself. He came only as a witness to the light. Verse 9, the true light that gives light to every man was coming into the world. Jesus Christ, the light of the world, the hope of all mankind, God incarnate, the very face of God. I look at that and I think of flashlights. I don't have a flashlight right now. I do on my phone, but I don't have my phone. You flip on a flashlight when you can't see because it's dark, right? Not too long ago, our power at our house went out, along with a lot of people in our neighborhood, maybe a lot in our city. It was giddy because it doesn't always happen. Thank the Lord we're not in some places like California with the brownouts and the rolling, outage. Anyway, I don't want to go there. It suddenly blackout. And we went frantically looking for candles, flashlights, and all kinds of stuff. And you know what we discovered at that time? We have a lot of candles that were used up and not thrown away. We also discovered we couldn't find the matches. And then two of our lighters that we used for the grill, they were already empty. And then we couldn't even find a flashlight. We found two, but the batteries had been dead. And so it's like little by little, suddenly we had like 60 tea lights. Or I don't know, and then lots of little candles and other things. And then we had some light in the house, and it was kind of fun and just exciting. But it makes me think about flashlights right now, because in times like this, this is when people look for light. This is the time when people go, there's some darkness creeping in, I'm going to grab for some light. And this is also the time then where people find out your battery's dead. Yeah. Or you ain't got matches. or your lighter is empty. Because there's no lighter fluid in it. On and on. It's amazing. But in these moments, this is when the proof is either in it or not. And you see if you've got the light of Christ in your hearts glowing brightly, or if that light is dim or dead. And you know it's gone, because you have no light. You look just like everyone else in the darkness looking for light. But if that light of Christ, if the knowledge of Jesus Christ is so abiding and dwelling in you, you have this anchor of hope. And I'm telling you, it's like a city on a hill. You cannot hide it. You will not be able to hide the unquenchable hope, that sense of tenacity to believe, to say, well, I know this is what they say, this is what's going on, but you know what? I still believe. It becomes the period at every statement of every sentence. I still believe God is still on the throne. He is awesome. He's my God. I serve him. I love him. And people around you begin to look at you and go, okay, what's up? What's up? In times like this, in dark times, when things are shaken up and people might be losing their jobs, or someone that they know is not feeling good, or all kinds of disruptions to our normal life, these are the times where people suddenly feel an interest to read their Bible. They're looking for light. They suddenly call up the one family member that they know goes to church, and they say, hey, how are you doing? What's going on? What? They're grabbing for whatever light is possible. And so today's message is about the letter T, our testimony. And with that, I want to, well, I guess I don't know if I want to show our testimony video now or show it at the end. Let's go ahead and share this testimony video with you guys. This is something I'm excited to share. It's just a little hint of some of the testimonies that I've been taking recently, and there's more to come, and there's some great stuff, and I'll talk to you about this on the other side of the video. For right now, I offer to you a fun little video. Enjoy. How are we doing, guys?
Good.
Are we going?
Yes.
All right. Keep me posted.
Indeed.
Pause for station identification. And bathroom breaks or coffee. Oh, it's 9 minutes. I can get coffee.
Yeah.
Okay, I like this part of church on Sundays now. This is amazing. Commercial break, halftime, and we can go get coffee. And I guess we are back live. Hopefully you enjoyed that testimony video and it inspires or encourages you that you have a testimony. And you have to answer those three questions. What were you like before? How did it happen? What was going on to make you surrender your life to Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? And then really most importantly, what's your life and relationship like right now? That's the living testimony. And I want to spend the rest of our time together, the next 10 minutes, and talk about our living testimony. And the reason I want to talk about it is because it's like a ketchup packet. Our testimony is directly connected to testing, times of trial, times of difficulty for you, a new situation, a new relationship, a new challenge of some sort. And whatever it is, think of it as pressure coming against you. And the reason I say it's like a ketchup packet is because if I had a ketchup packet, I thought about doing this, taking one from McDonald's and doing this, but then I would mess up my suit and Petraeus would be upset at me. But if you take that ketchup packet and you step on it or you put more pressure on it, as you begin to push on it, at some point, what's inside the package will burst through the seams in the wrapper and explode everywhere and reveal all the contents on the inside, all that good vinegary, salty, tomato-y goodness. Ketchup. And like us spiritually speaking, the pressures in our life, they push on us. And what comes out of us? What comes out of us? Whatever that is either going to bring glory to God and kind of like John the Baptist, shine a light to the light of the world, or what will come out of us is just the same darkness that's in other packages in this world. And I know I see it because when you step on those packages, out comes darkness. But out of our life, our testimony should be, you squeeze us, out comes the love of Jesus. And, you know, this is the way you see it in Scripture. If someone hits you on one cheek, instead of, biting, what are you doing? Instead of that, when that pressure comes, that situation, what is testifying is the fact that you don't spew ugly darkness. You instead share the love of Jesus, the fruits of the Holy Spirit, the fact that you've not forgotten, you've been forgiven from all your sins. And now suddenly there's a different aroma. There's a different content to what comes out of you. And that points to Jesus Christ. There is no other direction it can point. It just points to Jesus. And so I look at some of the examples in Scripture about what it is that testifies to God. And here's just a quick run through of the things that testify to God. When someone pressures us, John 5:39 says, You search the Scriptures because you think that in the Scriptures you have eternal life. This is chapter 5, verse 39. You think that in just the words on the paper, you have eternal life. No, those words testify to me. This is Jesus speaking. The Bible in and of itself, the black and white paper, all that, it doesn't save. The Spirit in the Word and the Word which is represented in God incarnate, that's what saves. But for us, as you store up the Scripture in us, someone comes against you, situations come. What comes out of you? If Scripture's coming out of you, they're testifying of Jesus. Okay, so now think about you. Your living testimony. When work comes against you, does Scripture come out of you? When negative situations at home come at you, does Scripture come out of you? Or does news? Or does all of the facts, just the facts? Facts have never saved anyone. Facts were Jesus was crucified on a cross, dead, and buried in a tomb. That is a fact. A miracle is that by the power of the Holy Spirit, he was raised out of that grave. Supernaturally, tomb rolled away. The facts couldn't have done that. A supernatural God can. So out of the Scripture stored up in our hearts, when the pressure comes against us, that Scripture comes out in wisdom, in hope, and in instruction. And that is squeezing the ketchup packet and splurting the testimony of God everywhere. And right now in this situation, I'm praying that when your family members talk to you, when other people talk to you, even other Christians, everywhere you go, what's coming out of your mouth? The Word of God. Let it come out of your mouth and testify. And then we get on. The works that Jesus performed testified about him. In John chapter 10, verse 25, John 10, verse 25, Jesus answered the questions by saying this, I told you, I used my mouth, I told you, and you did not believe. But the works that I've been doing in my Father's name, they testify about me. The works that I do in my Father's name, they testify about me. See, in difficult times, the proof is in the results and in the actions that go on. You know, you can talk the talk, but unless you have power and a walk, all you've got is an empty packet. All you've got are fancy phrases that you have, you know, put a frame around and post it on your house. But if you are still just like the world, then there is no power to the things you've been chanting or parroting. And really, you're just parroting it. And so the reality is here. You've got to have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, because now is the time when miracles happen. Now is the time when your prayers change somebody. Now's the time when God does things because you ask, because you seek, because you pray. And in this moment, people don't see you with supernatural walk if they don't see the evidence of something more than just believism or Hindu faith or yoga or mindfulness, all that other blech. If they don't see something deeper and more spiritual, then I'm telling you, the proof is you ain't got what you think you got. And then you are not testifying of God. Instead, your testimony is a negative affirmation that you are no different than every other person in the world. The darkness in the world is also in you. You've just been calling it light. So what do you do if that's you? Some of you might be hearing this and be like, Pastor Ben, that is kind of hard. I mean, what? I love God. Well, let's put some proof into it. Show. How much power does the Holy Spirit have moving through you? Maybe this is a time where, not so everyone can see it, but in your private place, in that secret corner of your house, or when no one else is around, instead of doing something else you normally do, you should consecrate your heart before the Lord. You know, the Bible tells us that if you clean your hands and set yourself apart like a vessel, God's Holy Spirit fills you up. And when the Holy Spirit fills you up, what you pour out is supernatural juice that changes atmospheres. Because out of you, there should be words of knowledge.
Out of you, there should be miracles. Out of you, there should be signs and wonders and all kinds of stuff. And those fruits of the Holy Spirit speak and testify of God. These are the moments where Christians testify. They call up another Christian and say, I just got a word from the Lord. He said, you are doing this. What? I know. How did you know that? God just spoke to me. How does that happen? Consecrate your heart. Get along with the Lord and ask him, God, fill me up. I want to be able to give the world what you give to me. And then don't hoard it. You got to give it. And the works that you do, the good things, those miracles, signs, wonders, they testify of God. I just love that. In Hebrews 2:4, it kind of reiterates this. God testifies with both signs and wonders and various miracles and by gifts, all according to the Holy Spirit's will. So hear that scripture and say, I want that, Lord. I want that. Supernatural provision, supernatural wisdom and direction. Don't write yourself off. Man, how cool would it be if God multiplied a modern day version of loaves and fish? How cool would it be if the world falls off its rails and everyone's, you know, causing all kinds of pandemic and craziness? What if you place your hands on a sick person where there is no ventilator, there is no medical resolution to what it is that's going on, and you say, in the name of Jesus, rise up from your sick bed and be healed. And suddenly their lungs are cleared up and they can do what they couldn't do before. And the doctors go, oh, pray for everyone. Well, how do you do this? Because the God who made that body is the same God that can heal that body, and his spirit dwells in me. The same spirit that raised Christ from the dead. And that's being that flashlight pointing. And so I hunger for that. It kind of stirs me up and makes me go, woo, 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 yeah, I love it. In John chapter 15, verse 26, it again talks about the Holy Spirit, but in a slightly different way. In John chapter 15, verse 26 and verse 27, Jesus says that when the Helper, the Holy Spirit, comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, that is the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, he will testify about me. And you will also testify, because you have been with me from the beginning. So now this is an interesting thing, because a living testimony is one that is in step with the Holy Spirit. Now is the time, church. If you want to testify, be sensitive to that still small voice. Be sensitive to that still small voice. You don't know if that little voice in your head that just came out of the blue lines up with Scripture. Seems like it'd be good. Seems like it would edify. And it's not necessarily your normal thoughts, but that still small voice comes in. Respond to it. What did it tell you to do? Did it tell you to call somebody? Did it tell you to pray for someone? Did it tell you? What did it say? Because you've got to know that the Holy Spirit is working right now, even though you can't see him. We sing that song, Waymaker, Miracle Worker, Promise Keeper, you know, all that. That's who you are. And in one of the bridge variations, we say, even though I can't see it, you're working. Even though I can't feel it, you're working. This is the power of the Holy Spirit. And so there are answers to prayers, and God's Spirit is moving in people's lives, and we haven't even seen it yet, but you will. I have to believe it, because that's what God says. But do it in partnership with the Holy Spirit. In last week's message and in the weeks before, we talked about the facts concerning the gospel. We're all sinners. And we need Jesus as our Savior. But before that, we talked about the infilling of the Holy Spirit. I can't be a true witness of God in my own strength. I have to have the power of the Holy Spirit in me. And the reason being is because I don't know the words to say. The words that worked one time aren't necessarily the same words I need now. I need to be in step with the Holy Spirit so that it's living. So the challenge, the application for this is, if you're going to testify, I want you to stop using your memorized 1-2-3 testimony. Knock it off. Nobody wants a recipe for oatmeal cookies. Okay, maybe I do.
You can't help me. And nobody wants a recipe for how to be saved. What people need is they need a living response right there in the moment where you are acknowledging them personally and let the Holy Spirit speak through you to them. He will use different words appropriate to the hearer and to that moment. And I'm telling you, you got to be sensitive and you need the Holy Spirit or you won't know what to say. Sometimes I have testified in the past and I've used my 1-2-3 formulas and I've used what I think needs to work. And you know how it comes out afterwards. I feel horrible. I feel empty. I feel like I somehow disobeyed God, even using scripture. It's like weird. And the real missing the mark is I just simply tried to witness in my own strength using a formula I came up with instead of trusting in the Spirit of God. And in other times, I just didn't overthink it. I just trusted the Lord. And I followed that little unction in my spirit. And in the moment, say this. And so I did. And I was scared. And it usually brought some great response. Curiosity. It drew them. And that's just because you have to rely on the Holy Spirit in order to be a witness. In 1 John chapter 4, verse 13. It's the last scripture that I'll really focus on now. It says that we know that we live in him and he in us. If you're going to testify, you have to be in a living relationship with Jesus. We know that we live in him and he in us because he has given us his Spirit, and we have seen and testify that the Father has sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. I'm ending on this verse because I can't testify what someone else testified about. I can only testify what I have seen and experienced, what I know. And every single one of you, if you have a living relationship with God, you have a story of how that is. And no two stories are exactly the same, but it is his story, his relationship with you, and the difference that makes. And you have got to understand the meaning and the power behind sharing that testimony. It is how you draw people to God. You've got to start talking about what you have seen in your life. And in my life, what I have seen is I'm in my mid-40s, and I have seen God prove himself time and time again. I have been down physically, emotionally. I have been down financially. I have been down in all other kinds of senses of the word. I have been lost. I have been found. In all seasons of my life, I have noticed this. God is so powerful and he is miraculous. I've seen real healings, miracle healings, not one. Not two. I've seen dozens upon dozens. My own arms, tumors. People have been changed. Teeth restored right in the middle of service. Ladies who were infertile and they've had surgeries. Full hysterectomies. And in service, they were healed. And then they had a kid next year. I've seen miracle upon miracle. One young lady was having a diabetic thing. She was having problems. Her insulin was down. And we were on the mission field. She was starting to black out. This was bad. We were in the boonies. No hospitals, nowhere. And God came and touched that girl's body. And she was healed just like that. I look at these things and I prove over and over again. When I've needed sustenance, God supplies. We've had hundreds of dollars show up on an envelope unmarked right on our doorstep and nobody knew where it came from. We've had food showed up. We've had all kinds of breakthroughs and miracles. And when I've been down, God has spoken to people who didn't hardly know me, words of knowledge.
And they've called me up. They found my numbers and they called me up in the middle of the night and said, "Are you Pastor Ben?" "Yes, I have a word from God and I want to share you this, what I'm saying." And then tears flow and my life is changed. In every one of those instances, my relationship with God is that God is real. He never disappoints. He is faithful. And when I look in His Word, I really do believe these words are life-giving and transformative. And so when I preach and when I think about it, I just can't help but go, everyone in the world has to know that Jesus is the most important thing in your life. Because friends, they're not as important. And accomplishments and money, not as important. Even the wonderful loves in my life, like my beautiful wife and my wonderful kids, they don't compare to God. Nothing compares to God. And it's in these moments when I'm reminded of my relationship with the Lord, and it changes my even my emotions, and it's my testimony. Someone were to ask me, "Man, how you doing?" I'm like, "I'm doing good." "Really?" "Yeah, I'm doing really good." "How you doing this?" "Because God, that's all I can say, God." And God will continue to do that, because that's how He is. He never changes. I can't tell you what you've seen, but I need to hear what you've seen. Church, this is your time to testify. You might have been silent. Maybe you've never taken seriously the Great Commission. Or you've never thought of yourself as a great evangelist. I don't want you to think like that. All I want you to think about is how much Jesus has changed your life. And you have got to open your mouth and start sharing that story. Start talking about it all the time. It is the most important thing to talk about. And if you lift up Jesus, I guarantee you, it is what we've read in the Bible. When you lift Him up, He will draw all men unto Him. And this is the time. I can't overemphasize it. People need to know Jesus. I almost said, would you stand with me? Maybe you could. Go ahead and stand in your living room or in wherever it is and just close your eyes. And I want to pray for you. I just believe that God's presence is moving. And Holy Spirit, I ask you now to come afresh upon every person in the sound of my voice. Holy Spirit, move. Move like a waterfall. And overwhelm every single person listening to my voice right now. Come and fill us afresh. Pour out your Spirit like Joel 2 prophesied. Lord, fill us up like in Acts, what it said there in fulfillment to it. And fill us afresh with your Holy Spirit that we might be witnesses for you. And God, I ask that now as we abide in your love, live in your love, would you come and be lifted up? Let each and every one of us testify. Let us share the story of our relationship with you, the difference you make, how awesome you are, how you've changed everything in our life. And Lord God, draw all men to you. Let there be a great harvest in our time. Open up the mouths of young people. Open up the mouths of the elderly. Lord, let moms and dads begin to share the difference that you've made. Lord, from generation to generation, let every generation pass it on from one to another, the difference you have made in their life. And we just receive that in Jesus' name. Oh, amen, amen. As we close our time together, there's a special announcement that I have regarding Easter. So God is just so good. And next Sunday, Easter Sunday, Resurrection Sunday, we have a very special time together planned. On Good Friday, we're going to have up here for everybody in the church that wants to take part of this. It's kind of like McDonald's. We're going to have a drive-thru. And instead of picking up your Happy Meal, you're going to pick up this little bag. Maybe we'll call them resurrection bags. I don't know what we'll call them. I feel dorky calling them an Easter bag because I don't want to have a bunny in it. You know, it's like, but we have these little bags. And inside these bags are going to be things
for you and your family to participate, to interact with Sunday service. Don't miss this opportunity. So all you need to do is on Good Friday, so from noon until 2 o'clock, I'm gonna open the doors and you can come in and grab these bags. You will not break protocol. You know, if you've been to Walmart, you can come to church. If you've gone to a drive-thru, you can come to church and just come in one at a time, maybe just send one person from your house. They can come in, grab the bag for everybody. I'll even sanitize the bags and stuff like that. And take it home with you. And then on Sunday, we'll open them and we will go through it together. In that, we're going to focus on the many facets of the cross, and then we're going to culminate with a whole new message related to a brand new cross. I've been working on a new cross called the Living Cross. And this Easter, we're going to talk about that. What is our life like? Resurrection life like? And you won't want to miss out. Come up. That's from noon until 2 o'clock. It's like an open drive-thru. The bags will all be at the front of the church. Just one by one, you can come in and grab those bags and then be on your way. And I promise, no hugging. It'll be very difficult. Petraea actually told me, if you see somebody, you're going to want to hug them. And I'm like, I know. But we will sanitize the handles, all that kind of stuff, and just come in, grab the bag, and then cruise. And if for some reason that doesn't work for your schedule, please let us know, and we'll make them available on Saturday, too. But from noon to 2 o'clock, right after our noon prayer time together on Friday, we'll have those resurrection bags ready for you. And other than that, God bless you guys. Have a great Sunday. We'll see you tomorrow.